All right, I invite your attention to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. If you are visiting with us, we're delighted to have you. In Ephesians chapter 3, the verses that I will read in your hearing have been a 50-year search, over a 50-year search for me. Actually, a 60-year search for me this coming October. See, October's tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was converted as an 8-year-old boy and have been in search of experiencing and comprehending and laying hold and entering into these passages since I was a child. See, I want to know God, because this is eternal life. It's not to know about God. Most people believe there is a higher power, acknowledge that there is the big guy upstairs. Many people know the Pope or have met Billy Graham or, but really that's not the question. The question is, do you know God? Because in knowing God is eternal life. I want to experience God. I don't want to go to church and play church. I don't want to be religious. The Apostle Paul said, oh, that I might know Him. Well, Paul, you've established churches all over the known world. You had such a tremendous experience on the Damascus Road. And here you are 30 years later crying out, oh, that I might know Him. We say Columbus discovered America, but the truth is America is still being discovered.
Amen.
Knowing God deeper, fuller, richer. Experiencing Him in my daily walk, where I never doubt. Songwriter said, my God is real, where I can feel Him in my heart. Now let's begin with verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded, rooted. I want to be rooted. And I want to be grounded in love. That is, in the love of God, in the love of Christ. And you may be able to apprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. I've never understood these passages. They are so full. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. I want you to comprehend, but I want you to know it. It passes knowledge. We know so little. We talk about the 5 points of grace, but we know so little about God's grace. An eternity will be spent with God showing His children how good He has been to them, how much He has loved them, and what He has done for them. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, you ought to underline that in your Bible. Let me ask you, dear saints, today, how close are you to that? How close are you being to being filled with the fullness of God? The apostle talked about in the book of Romans about the love of God being shed abroad into our hearts. And that this love of God will not put us to shame. And love, perfect love, casteth out fear. How long has it been since every crack and crevice of your heart was filled with the love of God? I read yesterday of one of the old Puritans was on his way to preach at a particular city in England. And he was riding horseback and he got to contemplating the love of God. And somehow, at some point in time, his horse stopped near a lake, unbeknownst to him. 8 hours later, he realized that he had been sitting there all of that time, filled with the fullness of God, contemplating the love of Christ. That you might be filled with the fullness of God. I can really say that as a young preacher, I read that verse and read every commentary that I have in my study to try to grasp what it means to be filled with the fullness of God. And I remember one of the old writers said, it's like taking a wine bottle, taking the cork out of it and going down to the ocean and filling it with ocean water. And then putting the cork back in and throwing it in the ocean. Now you have the ocean in the bottle and the bottle in the ocean. Maybe that's close. I don't know. But that's not all it means. Being filled with the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amazing, isn't it? Are you there in your contemplation, in your thought? Are you there in your faith? Are you struggling with something that you actually fear that your God is not big enough, not able enough to give you strength to overcome? I'll tell you, your need and mine is to be filled with the fullness of God and to know the love of Christ. If you're insecure, if you have a father vacuum, a mother vacuum, or any kind of vacuum, God can fill that and wants His people to be filled with this love and a knowledge of this love. Unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power. You do know that there is a power that works in us. You do know that you believed according to the power of God, that your faith in Christ was a gift, and that you were dead in your cemetery of sins and trespasses. And God came to where you were dead and in power resurrected you and gave you new life. There's a power working in you, saints. And that power is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Think about that. A power worketh in us. So Paul's prayer was that the folks at Ephesus might be rooted and grounded in God's love in Christ. That they might view the largeness of Christ's love, and that He might dwell in them and strengthen them, that they might comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of God's love in Christ, and that they might be filled with the fullness of God. And quite frankly, dear folks, this is what I've been praying for some time now in my own life. David prayed like this, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Sometimes I I sense my coldness, my lack of sensitivity to this amazing love of God for me. I get mundane in my preaching and in my service. And my greatest fear is coming into the pulpit with just me. And not be thrilled and not be motivated and not be filled with the fullness of God. Because the only way to bless you is for the preacher to overflow on Sunday morning. I not only must have enough for myself, I must have an abundance. So at least you sense and feel He speaks under the power of the Holy Spirit. We have heard from God today. My old quote that many of you have memorized, if my poor voice is the only voice you hear today, you'll leave here none the better. But if in the providence of God through my voice you hear the voice of God, you will leave here a renewed or a changed person. Amen. To comprehend the breadth and length and depth and height. I can't tell you how many times I've read these passages. I've preached in thousands of churches in 50 years. And I've never really conquered these verses. I always feel inadequate when I read them. And I always hunger and thirst to have them filled in me. So these passages are beyond us. Paul was wishing that they should comprehend and know that which surpasses knowledge. Let me say, if there are theologians here, you don't know anything about this love of God. Theologians don't make good church members. Only people who stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder that He could love them, a sinner condemned unclean, those are the folks that make good church members. Are you in a state of wonderment? Oh, what a wonder that Jesus found me. That's where we have to stay. That's where we worship. That's where we praise. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was so lost, but now I am so found. I was blind, but now I see. I know many in here today, like me, have tasted God's love. And perhaps there are some of you, I know better now, having been taught of the Spirit of God and reading these passages, but maybe some of you think that there is nothing more after that first love. I mean, you remember that first initial strike of the Spirit of God where He quickened you and gave you life and your burden became light. The burden of your heart was rolled away and you experienced the peace of God in a moment, and you knew that you were justified before God, that you had status and standing because God had declared you not guilty and you had been born of the Spirit of God. The lights came on and old things passed away. You remember that time and that moment. And somehow, as the days have gone, that initial burst of love and light and power has dwindled. And maybe you contemplate that was all. My friend, God does not love you less as time goes on. You know, when both of our grandchildren were born, I was there. They had no knowledge. They didn't even know they were alive. Now, you know, Hayden has come along, 3 years old now. I've watched her grow. God's people are to grow. And they are to grow in grace. Amen. And in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the more you find out about the grace of God, the more wonder there is. The more amazement there is. And the love of Christ. You think God would love you less now that you're an old friend? He loved us in conversion, and it was sweet. But my friends, the longer you know Him, the sweeter He grows. Let me say it again. The longer you know Him, the sweeter He grows.
Amen.
The best is still to come. Don't you know there's more for you? Don't you know that you shouldn't sit here bored and actually so sick and tired of the rituals? Church should not be a ritual. The real church is alive with excitement and wonder and praise and the glory of God.
Amen.
Yes, the best is still to come. Do you ever contemplate how gooder it's going to be? It just gets gooder and gooder for child of God. It gets better and better. Don't you know that you're just in your bud stage of life, child of God? Think about this. Your future is glorious and wonderful. You have not arrived yet, but there are plenty of great and awesome things ahead of you. Some great things happened this week. God's been so good. I would not trade my job for any job in the world. That's very true. I would not. My pastoring this church and seeing people converted and watching God do miracles. Somebody said, well, you've never seen a Red Sea. I've seen many Red Sea openings. Absolutely. But most of all, I think about this. Do you ever think about this? I think about this a lot. Every blessing, and every benefit that I receive from God, I make it a step and a stairway up to comprehending the love of God. I don't know whether you got that or not, but you know what? You got up this morning. That's a blessing. Some of us had breakfast this morning. That's a blessing. Some of us walked to church today. We have two legs to walk to church. That's a blessing. Some of us got in expensive automobiles and drove to church. That's a blessing. That's the goodness of God. Some of us have a job. That's a blessing. And if you just start there and begin to count your blessings, name them one by one, you will begin to comprehend somewhat of how much God loves you. You know, God's in you getting a job. And you know what the goodness of God does? It leads us to repent of our mess. The more you see the goodness of God in your life, the more you repent of your self-centeredness. It's very, very true. Real quick now, what is the breadth of His love? The width. Paul said, I want you to know how wide it is. From side to side, a wide expanse. Think about the breadth of His love. Well, what does that mean? It means that the love of God extends to all ranks and all races of mankind. That the love of God extends to the king on the throne, but to the slave in bondage. The love of God extends to the pure and virtuous woman, and it extends to the whore who walks the streets. I wanted to make it plain. That's why I used that word. That God can love and does love, and God's love extends to the whore. In fact, God's greatest example in the Bible is found in the book of Hosea. Of God's unmerited favor. The breath of His love will outreach the devil's slimy hands as to the number who shall be touched. I've had many people disagree with this statement, but I believe this. I know this to be true, that the number in heaven will be more than the number in hell, because God isn't going to let the devil beat him. That's how far it extends. If you just think about this, so far here since the Supreme Court ruling on abortion, we have murdered 50 million babies. All of them, I believe, are with the Lord. Think about that. 50 million to start with. How broad was that love that reached some of you who are here this morning? You, the thief. You, the drunkard. You, the blasphemer. You, the crack addict. You, the fornicator. You, the adulterer. You, the murderer. The river of His love got out of its banks and overflowed to where you were. The love of God is not razor thin. It doesn't just save the good, nice, church-going folks. In fact, most of them are going to hell. It saves. It reaches to the worst of the worst. It's amazing. It's so awesome. God save me. Sin may be broad, but the mighty love of Christ covers it all. Have you ever just thought about this? You ever think about the providence of God? Think about this. You're here and you're a Christian. You're saved. You've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation for you. Think about this. Where were you 10 years ago? Think about this. The providence of God. Think about the blessings. Think about this love of God in His providence. There you were, down in the hood, with track marks up and down your arm, selling yourself, half dead, hating life. Look where you are now. What was that? What was it that kept you alive? What was it that sustained you? You should have been dead, sleeping in your grave. But here you are sitting in the house of God with a hallelujah in your soul. It was the providence of God working for your good. Think about it, child of God. Everything works for your good in God's glory. That's the love of God. What is the length of His love? Length has to do with duration or extent and time, the longest of the long, longest dimension. You know, if Christ were to think about His people for 10 minutes, it'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? If He condescended to think about you or me for just 10 minutes. You know, years ago, I got to spend almost a day with Ronald Reagan. Man, oh man, what I thought I was. What an honor that was. Think about Almighty God just thinking about you for 10 minutes. That would be something, because we're not worthy of God's thoughts for a moment. Now try to grasp this. He has thought of His people as long as He has existed. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. I mean, if you hadn't already got rid of your pipe. I'm talking about eternal love. There never has been a time when He did not love you. That's a long time. Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's belly, I loved you. Before I formed you in your mother's belly? Before you were ever formed, your name was written in His book. Before the foundation of the world. That's what the Bible says. Paul said, I want you to know this love. I want you to enter into this love. I want you to experience this love. I was thinking about an angel. If an angel were to fly with the purpose to find out when God's love began, and I think he would probably fly back to Calvary. And there he might say something like this. This is the source. Right here at the cross, Calvary. This is the source. But then he would recall John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then he would have to fly further. And maybe he'd fly back to Isaiah's day and read Isaiah 53, where he was numbered with the transgressors, and know that he would have to fly further. And maybe he would fly back to the Garden of Eden and hear this: the seed of the woman shall crush the serpent's head. And know he would have to fly further. And divine instruction would tell him he must go back to the eternal councils where first salvation was planned. You can get lost in this. Back when creation vanishes, when there's not a shred of existence except the eternal mind, he loved you. That needs to just kind of settle in a little bit. I will not preach a love that begins with you. You'll never hear me preach a message which love begins with you. Love did not begin with you or me. It was a... grab the seat. It was a causeless love. It was a causeless love. It ought to bring every child of God out of his seats right now. God didn't love you because you did something. God didn't love you because you first loved God. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us. Oh, he saw you in the hood. He saw you. He saw you working all kinds of mess, took out his big telescope, looked down through time, and there you were, little alley rat. Maggoting your way through life. And God loved you. No beauty. No merit. No cause. Except his own sovereign grace and mercy. I know. This is the gospel of the glory. This is not the message that's preached from most pulpits today. I guarantee you. It's you're going to get some holy water sprinkled on your head, and because of that, you're going to go to heaven. You're going to join the church. You're going to get Christ in you by drinking a little wine or letting the priest drink the wine and you eat the bread, and somehow you digest Christ with gastric juices. And oh, no. No, no. This whole thing is by faith. Yeah. You remember? You had to trust God. You know why? Because you can't trust yourself. You can't save yourself. Salvation's totally outside of you. You didn't do it. It wasn't your will. It wasn't your works. This love of God. This love is not only without beginning, but it's without pause. God loved David when he was laying in the lap of Bathsheba and he committed adultery. God's love did not pause. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God doesn't go, uh-oh! Johnny just did a no-no! My love is cut off until he gets right. No, God's love goes after you and brings you back in repentance. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Never a moment when the Lord ceased to love us. Don't you know, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate? Whom He predestinated, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. There is no pause. Did you notice in Romans 8 that there's not even a mention of death? When it says He foreknew, He predestinated, He called, He justified. But what about people dying? It's not even mentioned. He just says, them He also glorified. That's because it's certain. That's because it's for sure. You are predestined to heaven. You're going to go because of the God of love. Oh, say, but Pastor, I've relapsed. Oh, me too. But God never has. Oh, I'm about to get happy by myself. God never has relapsed in His love for you. Okay, now calm down, preacher. What is the depth of His love? How far from the surface? Oh, this is not surface love. I know we guys fall in love and we tell that young girl, I love your teeth. I love your figure. I love this. I love your hair. You better watch it. That hair might come off at night and those teeth come out. That's surface love. Am I right about that? What if her teeth decay? What about when she gets old? Aren't you glad God's love is not surface love? It goes deep. I'll tell you how deep it goes. This is how you can think of the love of God. You ever thought about the stoop of His love? I mean by that, He came down here to be one like us. Have you ever just thought about it this way? How far He stooped to save you? How far down did He have to go to get a hold of you? You remember the story of the woman that was brought to Jesus, taken in the very act of adultery. By the way, I think it's pretty noticeable that, you know, most of the time women commit adultery with a man. Let me let that soak in just a little bit. But Moses' followers didn't bring a man, they brought a woman. They threw her down and says, the law says, stone her. What do you say? And the Bible says, He stooped down. Eye to eye, identifying with that adulterous woman. And He said to her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Has He said that to you? Then there ought to be joy in your heart. That He stooped to your lowliness. That's how deep the condescension. You ever thought about the invitations that He gives? Think about this. The invitations are a stoop of His love. The invitations of Scripture are not the words of an impotent God when He says, He doesn't say it like this. Give me a chance. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, because I'm a weak Savior. He doesn't say that. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He stoops down. Or when He says this to crazy people, come, let us reason together. How many know that an addict is not reasonable? If an addict were reasonable, he wouldn't use. He'd say, now let's say, this is stupid for me to do the same thing over and over, expecting that there's going to be different results. Why are y'all looking at me that way? Is it reasonable to keep doing the same thing that destroys you? No. So that means we're not reasonable people, any of us. Right? And yet the Lord stoops and says to us crazy folks, let's talk it over. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Aren't you tired? Come to me and I'll give you rest. That's what he says. And then think about this, the depth of his love. He took your sins. In your wildest dream or mine, we cannot imagine what it was like that day outside Jerusalem, outside the camp, on Golgotha's hill, on Calvary, on the cross, when God started the computer of imputing your sins and mine to Jesus Christ, who had never known sin, never thought sin, never committed sin, never said a disrespectful word to his mother or father. He was a holy Savior. And sin was imputed to him. What strange and awful sensations must have come over him. You know what it's like to do something that's wrong and you've done something that's really wrong and violated your own conscience. You know that awful feeling of condemnation? Think about the Himalayas of sin that was laid on Christ. The mighty stoop of the Savior to bear your sins and mine on the tree of the cross. He bare our punishment. Can you imagine? He who was the apple of the Father's eye. He of whom the Father opened the windows of heaven and said, "This is my boy in whom I'm well pleased. I'm happy with him. I'm continually pleased with him. He does all things well." And then God got out his black snake whip as your sins were laid on him and the justice of God was poured out on Jesus Christ. And by his stripes you were healed. The stoop of the Savior. And now there's no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Darren's going to be doing messages on heaven and hell. When he does that hell message, when he gives us all hell, I hope you'll contemplate this. He took my hell. There is no hell for me. The everlasting torment will never be mine. He's able to save even to the uttermost, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Think about it. And lastly, what is the height of his love? The summit. I think this is the height of it. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Do you know you're in the will? Do you know he's going to take you all the way? Do you know he'll never take you out of the will? It's very difficult for us to disappoint God. Because the only thing good that comes out of us is what he puts in us. Amen. I think this is the summit. In John 17, I want you to think about this. John 17 is the prayer of the Savior. And he says something like this, "Father, thou hast loved them." This blows my mind. "Thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Now wait a minute. Let me hear those words really slow. "I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me." You see, God chose you. Amen. Ephesians 1:4, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." Yeah, you're chosen. If you're a Christian, it's because God chose you, not because you chose God. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. And Jesus says this, "You love them just like you love me." And then he follows up with, "And you love me before the foundation of the world." Say, you mean, you don't really mean that, can this really be that, are you saying God loved me when I was in the crack house? When I was an atheist? Oh, yeah. And you didn't know it, but he had a rope around your leg. And he was drawing you. And when you went in to use, he said, pretty soon you're going to run out of steam. But he always had the rope around your leg. He always had his eye on you. You were invincible. You just didn't know it. You couldn't even kill yourself. Surely there's no one in here that tried to kill themselves. We've all thought it if we've been out there long enough. But you didn't. And he kept drawing you. And you didn't know it, but some of you ended up at over 35 East Huron Street, and you thought that was the worst thing that ever happened to you. You didn't know he had a rope around your leg. You were shocked when you got off the bus and it was right in front of the old Pontiac Rescue Mission. You thought you were going to have to search for days, maybe live in a vacant house. But somehow you just got miraculously delivered. All you folks from Turning Point, you're not here by accident. And those of you who know God, you were brought here. Just so you know, what a testimony it is. I love you seeing walking up here to church. I love to see the folks walking from 35 up here to church. What a testimony to the grace of God. I want to say this to you, saints. I know things are tough and the world's looking mighty black. It really is. I think things are going to turn here soon in an ugly way. Amen. In a real ugly way. I see the writing on the wall. I do. We may be past the redemption point in this country. Maybe. We'll see. But I want you to know this, because I know this. You get 68, you'll think about this too. The best is yet to come. Yeah, the height. I love to have services where the Spirit of God drops down and we're just all caught up. We just don't want to leave. Let's build 3 tabernacles and stay here. That's kind of what we say. Don't have anybody pray and dismiss us. Let's just all stay here. Let's stay here all day. That's really what happens when the Spirit of God comes down and you're filled with the love of Christ. You just don't want to go home. You love being with one another. It's a great time. That's the way heaven's going to be. We're not all going to be walking around with pickaxes on streets of gold, digging nuggets. It's going to be real life, only everlasting life, with no bugs, no cancer, no getting drunk, no using, no fornicating, no adultery. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty we're free at last. Let's stand together and praise our God.